Dr. Nick Merrifield.
Firstly, shall we do an update on the measles situation? Because the last time we spoke about measles was September, so going about 3 months or 4 months now. How is the situation now as to how it was then?
So we know that measles is a potentially serious illness, and it's completely preventable. And we've been seeing more cases of it in Kingston and London more generally, and I think the Midlands have seen more as well. Doctors who haven't ever seen measles before are starting to see cases of measles, and I certainly have seen some in my area in New Malden. And it's something that we are really concerned about. You know, we're seeing a real spike in London, and we are actually on the verge of a new campaign to do more MMR vaccines. So we'll be doing some Saturday clinics, which will be people will be invited to, but it'll be a drop-in sort of facility as well. Because just to remind people how these things work, MMR is offered at the age of one and about 3.5. But actually, it's never too late to have a catch-up. So if you're beyond the edge of that, or your kids are, we'd be really happy to vaccinate you. And indeed, adults can still have the MMR. If you know, you contact your practice, speak to your practice nurse, you can have an MMR even in adulthood, and it still works. So two doses gives you lifelong protection, and they're very safe. It's completely free, and it's very effective.
So you have to have it in two doses. Do you not think, or is it not possible to have it in one? Because do you think that's part of the reason people get their first and then perhaps don't come back for the second?
Well, it's been designed to be done twice. The first one does give you immunity in a certain proportion of cases. I think something like 70%. Don't swear to that. But it's the second one which then ramps that right up to high 90s, you know, 98%, 99%. So, yeah, some people will get immunity from one, but it's really far too low across a population for that to be a safe way to go.
But why can we not have it just in one jab? Why does it need to be in two?
It's just the way that the immune system works. So when we're exposed to one particular thing, we will raise an immune response. And it's the second one which then kind of cements it, really, in the body and makes us immune.
We've talked ad nauseum about the reasons why people aren't getting their children vaccinated. One of the reasons that's been talked about is the fact that some of the vaccines contain pork gelatin. However, I understand there is a vaccine that you can request from your doctor that does not include it.
There is a pork-free MMR vaccine that we can access for people who, for religious or any other reason, don't want to have their MMR with the pork product. So just ask your practice nurse at the GP surgery.
And we need 95% for herd immunity. So 95% of people to have had the vaccination nationwide for herd immunity. I mean, would you like to see a situation where parents can't send their children to nursery unless they've had the vaccination?
Well, we've never had that sort of approach with any healthcare interventions in the UK. Yes, I know there are parts of the world where there are serious kind of restrictions on state-funded services like schooling if you don't have vaccinations. And that's not something we've ever done in the UK. And I think that would be quite a serious measure to take. And I suppose that's not on the table at the moment. But, you know, who knows what happens in the future. We've clearly seen really serious government interventions during COVID when, you know, the figures were high and scary and lots of issues. But I don't think that's where we're going at the moment.
Hospital admissions for flu and norovirus have gone up, I'm told, nationally. Is it a big problem at the moment? We're sort of in the middle of winter now. Is flu and norovirus one of the bigger issues that you're seeing?
We're certainly seeing that in the GP surgeries. Lots of people, particularly with flu and viral infections. We've had lots of our staff have been ill, and that, you know, that causes difficulty with our service. But hospitals are in the middle of winter and are certainly struggling with A&E waits, with trying to get people out of hospital when they're well enough to leave into social care beds, into social care home support. The numbers are high, we're trying to keep people healthy and out of hospital best we can.
And if people have got these symptoms, they shouldn't necessarily need to go to their GP or to a hospital, should they? It's something they can care for themselves at home.
Yeah, in the most part, we would encourage people to rest, to drink fluids, to stay at home. With flu, that will often give you a temperature. You'll feel a bit rough. You'll have kind of those body aches, paracetamol, rest drinks, and vast majority of people will get better. Your local chemist is always there to give you advice on that. And again, on the norovirus, so that's a kind of a diarrhea and vomiting sort of bug. It tends to go on a number of days. It's always worse in the first 24 hours, but then tends to get better. So as long as you keep up your fluids, then you should get better. It's difficult to generalise, of course, because people have got underlying health conditions, may need to seek advice from us sooner. But people who are generally fit and healthy, it's something which will get better on its own.
And talking about going to your chemist, a new campaign is launched for people to go see their pharmacist. Personally, the last two times I've been to the pharmacist, they've said go to your GP. Are you confident that this is going to help relieve pressure on the NHS and that pharmacists are ready to help GPs with certain conditions?
It's a great question, and yes, as you said, it's called Pharmacy First. It's a new initiative which started just a few days ago. And it's, I think it's the right approach. The challenge is that local chemists are already very, very busy. You know, often you've got one qualified pharmacist for a really busy kind of premises. They're dealing with medications and people's prescriptions all day long, and they're really flat out. So I think in theory it sounds good, but I just wonder whether your local chemist is really going to have time for it. When they're already, you know, really struggling to keep up. The other thing to say is that the principle is that there's a new list of conditions which your local pharmacy can help you with. Different chemists and different individual pharmacy staff are in the process of undergoing training, which is very specific to certain areas for things like urinary infections, for skin infections. There's a list. And so your particular pharmacy may not be fully up to speed with all of the things on that list, and it will vary a bit. So, you know, do have a look on perhaps their website or go and have a chat to them about what they can do. But yeah, capacity is a real challenge for the local chemists.
So it's a work in progress.
Absolutely, yeah. We will see how this goes. We are keen to support our local chemists from our GP practice perspectives, but we'll have to see how this rolls out over the next couple of months.
Okay, and moving on to the telephone system that's also been implemented at a lot of surgeries especially across Kingston over the last few months. Some are having more issues than others. Can you explain what the telephone service is and what it's designed to do?
Yeah, so the previous system was really that you would ring up and you would sit on a queue until you were the phone got answered. The new system is designed to reduce the length of these queues. So if the queue is particularly long, above 15 minutes, you have the ability to press a button and ask for a callback, which the computer within the phone system monitors how long the wait is, and when the wait drops, you're then kind of given an opportunity to speak to the doctor again. So it will call you, then you sit back on the queue, but at that point should be much shorter. The other thing that it does is gives us, on the other side, at the doctor's surgery, more information about how many people are waiting at any one time. So we can, you know, if the wait's very long, we can find an extra couple of members of staff to jump on the phones for 20 minutes just to get those waits down to try and keep things flowing much better. So that's the way that these things have been designed. Of course, it does rely on us having enough staff to answer the phones. That still remains the challenge. And we still see far more people ringing us first thing in the morning than other times of day. So, it remains a very busy hour or so, first thing in the morning. Alongside the phone systems, many practices have initiated kind of online access to doctor surgeries. And that is also designed to improve the flow of people through the system. So in my practice, we have about 60% of queries coming in through the website, which leaves 40% on the phones. So we have seen our waits on the phones drop quite a bit, partly because of the phone system, partly because 60% of the traffic is now online. So people who don't manage the online systems are not waiting as long because there's fewer of them on the phones. So it's still relatively early days, and practices are still seeing very large demand. So despite these things, which are certainly designed to improve things and are improved things in many cases, we are in the middle of winter, demand is high, the NHS as a whole is under great pressure, so some people are still going to find it challenging.
And if you don't have access to the internet, which a lot of, especially the older generation, don't, I mean, what happens to them? Can they still call?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, on converse, if you're young and fit and do have the internet, we'd encourage you to go online. But if you are, if you're not and you'd prefer to ring, that's absolutely fine. And you can still ring and speak to us in the same way as always. Phone numbers haven't changed. So, you know, really you shouldn't see any difference if you're not able to go online. Many practices may ask you more questions when you ring us on the phone, because we have this triaging kind of filtering system, so we are needing a bit more information to help manage the problem that you're coming to us with. You know, is it urgent, is it not urgent, is it a kind of an administrative thing, a form you need filling? You may not need to see a doctor for that. So again, we're just trying to make sure the right people get to the right sort of professionals in the right time frame.